the human being is suspended between culture and nature. That means in order to master his existence, he tries to adopt a culture, like we have adopted this dress and Tulsi malas and what is it, tilak. But we have a nature, and this nature is different. I notice, for instance, in my own generations, Prabhupada's disciple, they used to be dressed in dhoti always and shaved head, and there was an oil, it was called magnesium-enriched oil, which when you put it on the head, made your head really brilliant and shiny. That's a culture. But I see the nature pervades. Now they are dressed in, they look at first glance often like Americans, but the American culture has taken over again. But there is a sparkle in the eyes, which is of course spiritual and divinely empowered in many cases. So the human being is suspended between culture, which he adopts for his own betterment, and then the nature fights often against this adopted culture, and there is an interesting wrestling taking place in the mind of the human being. I'm telling this as an introduction to the Ajamil story. In this story, we find that although Ajamil was from a very good Brahmin upbringing, the nature which coursed through his blood brought him away from his adopted path and made him a sinner. Now, in this very, very interesting struggle which he had to undergo through, a struggle between his Brahminical culture on one side and on the other side, his very deeply embedded nature for sense gratification, and we will see, he was fully into it. There was a very interesting solution which helped him to solve this dilemma on a spiritual level. He became a great devotee at the end of his life. And I would like to tell this story by throwing this, how would you say, spotlight on this very ancient narration, which is a really, really, really very powerful, and it is it's a very nice, nice narration. The Bhagavatam says that this narration was told by a great, great saint. It was told to Shukadev Goswami by the great sage Agastya, who was residing in the Malaya hills and who was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have visited the cave of Agastya Muni. It is in the Malaya hills. There's a beautiful waterfall coming down, and tucked behind the waterfall is the cave where Agastya is still residing. Now, as he was telling this story, it was a confidential story, he was so overwhelmed with ecstasy that in great internal movement, he grabbed the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a deity whom he worshipped. Because this story is so impactful. It is very emotional and very, very moving, because it addresses the human dilemma and offers a very, very amazing solution to it. So I request you to listen very carefully. Our subject is living the Bhagavatam, and it is hoped that as we go through this amazing narration, that your faith will increase and that you will make very practical steps in your life, which will also transform you and help you in wherever you are at the moment stationed in your spiritual journey. I would like to request you to join me in chanting. I will first chant it, and then you please chant after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram
chaiva
narotamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udadiraye. Dear devotees, in the town Kanyakubsha, which is located near the present Kanpur, lived a pious Brahmana called Ajamir. He was married with a fire yajna. He was pious, obedient to elders, compassionate, and followed all the Vedic injunctions to the dot. He was respectful to his guru. He served them. And in fact, it looked as if he was ahankrita, had overcome the ego, and was Sarva Bhuta Sudit, that is, the friend of all living entities. One day, his parents sent him to the forest to collect flowers. There would have been gardenias, like in Florida. That would be the preferred brand. And to bring also fruits home. There in the forest, a struggle took place between his Brahminical culture and his nature as a human being. He had done everything so well, but when he saw a Sudra whose arm was colored with yellow turmeric. Embracing a prostitute whose cloth had become loosened, somehow this scene of lustful indulgence created a deep samskara which took an unwanted dynamic, or had an unwanted dynamic. He thought day and night of this image which was an impossibility in his culture. The Christian Saint Augustinus reports how he was once invited by his friends to take part in the fight of two gladiators in a Roman Colosseum. And as they were fighting to the death, he understood, this is not good if I see it. It will pollute my mind. It will disturb me. And he took a cloth over his head in order to block his vision. But already the impressions of that fight where the two men were hurting each other in brutal violence had created a dynamic inside, and in the end he just could not stop himself. He lifted his veil, and this was just the moment when the victorious gladiator, do you have this word in English? Gladiator, took his sword and just killed the other who was lying on the ground in the most brutal way, so that draw of blood was coming from his, what is it called, the jugular vein. And Augustinus reports that he could never forget this. Sometimes when he was praying, he saw all of a sudden the slit open jugular vein and the death cramps of the gladiator, who darkened the white sand of the arena with his blood. It had taken hold of him. Prabhupada once said, don't look in these newspapers, they make the material world appear so real. You know, samskaras are coming. You might have seen this when you're not careful in your internet watching, and you see all of a sudden a scene which is against your culture, which is different from your culture, and it grabs you and it occupies you and does not leave you. And this happened to Ajamiel. Finally, the dynamic which had been kicked off in his heart took the shape of a desire. He convinced his wife and his parent that they needed a maidservant in his house. He took that same prostitute whom he had seen in the forest, he had found her as a maidservant into his house. And from there, it was only one more centimeter until he engaged with her in those activities which should not be done. He threw out his wife from the house. He threw out his aging parents from his house. Soon, there were children. There was a time when there was not this, the knowledge about how to, how do you say this? What is it, the word? Contraception or what? Contraception, yes, or so on. He became desperate to earn money. He first spent all his inheritance. Then, because he could not work as a Brahmin any longer. He was ostracized from society. He took to the life of a cheater, a gambler. He arrested people. He stole their money. And the downward spiral of his, where his nature won over his culture, was becoming more and more intense. Every day he ate the food with which this woman of the art of deception cooked for him. And his mind became more and more sinful and more polluted. There was not one single excess he did not try. He became eventually the father of 10 children. And just to show the extent of his unfulfilled desires, the last son was born when he celebrated his 83rd birthday. How is it possible? We asked ourselves. Again and again we ask this question when one of us is surprising the community with an amazing hidden story, a dark story of his own defeat as he was trying to uphold a culture which did not allow his material nature for sense gratification to go into the detail. We ask the question, how is it possible? He was so good. He came to each morning program. And he always said Jai Prabhupada when we met him. The explanation is given by Shukadev Goswami, by austerities, by tapasya, by shocha, cleanliness, and by following rules and regulation, yamas and niyamas, they are called in Sanskrit. For some moment, you can burn the material desires which you have. But the root of these desires remains. And he offers an example. You can burn a bamboo forest, but after some time, when the monsoon comes, new bamboo shoots come out of the earth because the roots were still there. We should not look down upon someone who was defeated, because we could all lose the fight between these two poles, when the two, because we are suspended somewhere in between. But we should offer the solution. Shukadev Goswami describes that only someone who is overwhelmed by love, by bhakti, loving devotional service, can uproot the weeds of sinful desires in a way that they don't return anymore and give trouble to us. This is the whole idea, to become a Vasudeva Parayana, a person who in his life moves towards Vasudev and is overwhelmed with bhakti, with devotion for the Lord. For this, the devotee has to understand Rupa Goswami's definition of what is the practice of bhakti. He says it must be for Krishna, not for yourself. It must be done with the body, the mind, and the sense, the words. And it must be done with a favorable intent. I'm doing this to please you, Krishna. As one practices, and as one has moments of bhakti, maybe, I don't know, today, have you done one thing which was just for Krishna, with the event, with the intention, I want to offer this for your pleasure. Check your day. something where you went out of your normal life and you just said, my Lord, I'm doing this for you. It's for your pleasure. Intention is always something you are conscious about. No? You cannot have an unconscious intention. I mean, maybe you can, but I'm trying to say conscious intention is better. So when Ajamil's 10th son was born, he went to the forest for some dark business. During this time, itinerant sadhus came to the house of Ajamil. They knocked at the door, and the prostitute, who once was beautiful but now was wasted from all the sense gratification with dark rings under her eyes, opened. And as she saw the saints, she was moved. She said, venerable sirs, what do you want from this house? The saints said, we have come to beg for some food. We are hungry. She said, you won't like to take food from this house, cooked food. This is a house of sin. No, mother, you give something. So she thought, she understood. Yes, and she went home, she went inside and came back with fruits. Fruits are considered pure. You can take them from everywhere. They don't carry sin. They gave this to the son. And they could see, you have given birth. Yes, the tenth son by this never-satiated sinner. Call him Narayan. And they went away. And the poor woman, or the woman, said, if I've ever done anything good, this son will be called Narayan. So when Ajamil returned, they had a discussion. I think he thought of a name like Malicious Tiger or something manly for his son. But she said, no, Narayan. Narayan? You have your pious moment? It's Narayan. He is Narayan. Okay, then, Narayan. So, as Narayan grew older, Ajamil noted something interesting in him. He would always dote on his son. When we see our young grihasthas, second generations, with their children, you see that they are lovely children, and the parents always go, doo-loot, doo-loot, doo-loot. They have a great affection naturally for the children. He also felt a great attachment. When he ate something, he began to take pleasure in saying, Narayan, wow, what a name, Narayan, come here to your father. It happens when you chant the name of Krishna. Often you have, all of a sudden, you like to chant this. Like I have an assistant who has a beautiful name. He was born with the name Jai Krishna, imagine. And I would always say, Jai Krishna, come here. And even there was nothing to do. I just liked the name so much. I must have gotten totally on his nerves. So... what is it? Oh, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna. So Ajamil also felt this. Narayan, Narayan, come here, Narayan, you're the best, Narayan. Narayan, little Narayan, Narayan, ooh, 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 Narayan. He was totally amazed by, really took great pleasure. So 5 years later, 83 plus 5 is 91, no? Or what is it? I'm so bad in this. 88, it's simple. 88, what else? 88. His, that is almost 90. Time came for him. All of us, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu likes to say it, we have, you know, in the forest where I live, there are trees and they are marked with an X. That means the foresters will cut the tree. So we all have an X on our forehead. We are marked for destruction. And we have also the year here. You can go to India, the Bhrigu Samhita. It's in Rajasthan. And you can ask when is the date if you want to know. And it's always right. So we have that date here somewhere. We are marked for destruction. So when his time came, he saw the most terrifying three beings he had ever seen. He was he laid down, and when you lay down for your death, it is natural that four kinds of fears come to you. The first fear is, oh no, I will lose everything now. Those who are dear to me, I will lose them. The second fear is, have I used my time properly? Have I really used it properly? Have I made good use out of my years? The next fear is the fear of an uncertain future. Where will I go now? Seele was nun. This is a German poet. He said, soul, what is next now? This comes to every human being, you know, the fear of the unknown. And then there is a fourth fear, which I have forgotten. But Ajamil had a fifth fear, because for him, the Yamadutas came. They approached him, they were subtle beings, but he saw their twisted faces. As he saw them, he became so fearful that his hairs began standing on end. And he noticed how they took out a rope, put it around his soul, and tried to yank him out of the body like a good dentist will remove a rotten tooth. Ajamil was so absolutely disturbed that he screamed out, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. One commentator says, and I just will put it in the room, that he chanted Narayan and he saw how his son didn't understand anything. You know, children this young, 5 years, they don't know what death is. When I came to say goodbye to my dead grandpapa, and I was very young, I asked my parents, why does he sleep? He always jokes with me. And they said, he's dead. And I said, no, he sleeps. I had no concept of death as a young boy. So Narayan was playing. He thought, my father's calling me here and calling me there. He has always called me. He is a little senile. He has his senior moments. But he did not really register Ajamil's terror, which he felt inside as the Yamadutas wanted to remove him from his body. And Ajamil could understand his shelter was not working. The boy was not noticing his thing. So he called Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. All of a sudden, four amazing personalities, the Vishnu Duta appeared. They were armed with swords, and they pointed the swords at the Yamadutas and say, "Go." The Yamadutas said, "Who are you? Can't you see? Who has the power to stop you?" Yes, the Yamaduta said, "We have never been stopped before. Are you the servants of the one? The Lord?" Vishnuduta said, "Yes, and you have no right to take him." The Yamadutas answered, "You're wrong. We have every right." Then said the Vishnudutas, "Explain to us, when can you take a soul? When he is sinful and he needs to be punished in the court of Yamaraj. This Ajamil has thrown out his chaste wife. He has thrown out his parents who were dependent on him. He has committed every excess. He has even committed murder. This Ajamil is a sinner and he needs to be corrected." The Vishnuduta said, "Yes, he has sinned with body, mind and words. That's why three of you are there to get him." "That's right," said the Yamadutas. "But he has chanted the name, the four-syllable mantra, Narayana. And that's why four of us are here. Can you not count? He is ours. We are in the majority. His good things, good activities are in the majority." And then they quoted a beautiful verse which I would like to chant for you. Let me see if I find it. They said, "Sanketyam parihasam va stobam helanam eva va vaikunta nama grahanam asheshagha haram vidu." One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something or someone else, Ajamil had indicated whom? His son, his boy, not Narayan. If he chants neglectful Helanam, in joking, this Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or in Sanketyam, means... Or in stobam. Stobam means as a musical entertainment. Someone vaikunta nama grahanam. Grahanam means to grab. Who takes hold of the name of Vaikunta. Asheshaga haram vidu. He is freed. Haram means freed. And this is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So the Yamaduta said, "We can't believe this." It was clear they could not oppose these Vishnudutas. Maybe they remembered one historical incident. In this incident, it was a sinful minister of a king who would always have illicit relationship with the concubines, and who was always, violent, and he cheated, he took gold. So one morning he was on his way to the court to sin some more. And he saw a bull on the way. And the bull was lying in his way, so he took his leather shoe and kicked the bull. "Get out of my way." The bull was just dozing, and he got up. So and he attacked him. He charged with his sharp horns and pulled him to the ground, and then pulled him around the ground, and then finally, what is the English word? Gorged him to death. He put his horns in there. And Hare Krishna, this is Vibhatsaras. The minister died and on the spot. So one Brahmana who had faith in Mother Ganga, and who would take Ganga water every day out of the river, came with his little baldi, his bucket, and he saw the minister on the ground, and he threw Ganga's water on him. So then he moved on, and a little later he was he had made a curve, he had gone, he saw Yamadutas. They were totally hurt. They had wounds. They were running away in fear. And he stopped one of them and said, why are you running away? The Yamadutas, we wanted to get him. But then the Vishnu Dutas came and forbade us. They said, he is sprinkled with Ganga water. He is ours. We have to take him somewhere else and he will continue his spiritual activities. And we said, what? A little sprinkle of Ganga water can't wash all the sin away. It can very much, said the Vishnu Dutas. And now you must go. We did not go, and then they took their swords. Now we run. Goodbye. And the Yamaduta ran away. Hare Krishna. Maybe they remembered this perplexing thing. And they went to Yamaraj and said, what's going on? We were stopped to do our duty. Yamaraj was already informed. And he said, devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in the human society. He said, this is right, this is Dharma. This is the ultimate Dharma. Everything is washed away by this. And he said, you must know, the secrets of Dharma are extremely confidential. There are only 12 people who know it. I happen to be one of them. So this is the amazing story of Ajamil. I will come to a close. I wanted to just say, now I have been attacked. I mean, this happens in life. And said, why do you, Maharaj, always insist we must chant intentively? Ajamil didn't chant attentively. Huh? Well, Ajamil did not go back to Godhead. He had seen all this in a trance-like situation in the moment of death, and he wanted to speak to the Yamadutas. So the Vishnu Dutas, please, please, let us discuss. But the Vishnu Dutas looked at him, closed their eyes, and went away. He came back to life, and he remembered this. The Vishnu Duta had appeared suddenly and disappeared suddenly. Prabhupada writes about this. The Vishnu Dutas made Ajamil aware of devotional service, Kevala Bhakti, no? So that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. And the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord, is very intense. So they went away from him. Ajamil woke up. His body was all right. He understood. I'm a sinner. Let me now immediately use the rest of my time for devotional service. I have learned this from these brilliant personalities. And he went to Haridwar, where he practiced intense chanting. You know, he didn't go back to Godhead with his Narayan, 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 meaning his son. No, he was freed from sin and he got a second chance. Only when he performed the chanting with attention, like a devotee, in Haridwar, in the temple, he became a servant in the temple. Then at the end of his life, he saw the same Vishnu Dutas and they said, "Now and now only can you go." That's why we devotees don't want to chant like Ajamil, but we want to, it's our second chance. We were Ajamils before, now we have to become proper Vaishnavas. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur summarizes this. He says, Ajamil chanted without faith because he was dying. But what will happen to someone who chants with faith? Ajamil chanted while dying. But what will happen to someone who chants while living? Ajamil chanted to indicate his son. What will happen to someone who chants to indicate the Lord? Ajamil was most sinful. What will happen if a sinless person chants? Hare Krishna. This is a wonderful story of Ajamil. I would like now to chant with you again. And let us chant as if it is our second chance. We will chant very briefly and then I will do something in the end. How did you like the Ajamil Katha? Sorry, I didn't ask him to get an applause. I'm sorry, but isn't it beautiful? If we think about this in detail, it is really something. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, something which is very important. The idea is living the Bhagavatam. We want to chant now with being mindful of this story. And I think the best way to be mindful is to look into Ajamil's mind after he had seen how he had wasted so much of his time. He had prayed to the Lord, "I'm a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I'm sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? I'm such a sinful person. But since I have now gotten the second opportunity, I must completely control my mind, my life, and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness of material life. Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, not the Vishnu Dutas, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Living the Bhagavatam means, when we hear this, to apply it, to get motivation, inspiration, to come on the life of Bhagavad life. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport to this last verse, no, one verse before, that this should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. That's you and me. A Krishna conscious person should always consider what his position was before he came and what it is now. In this way, a Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. Daya, compassion. It's very important that we don't just hear these things like, yes, in a story which we have often heard. We must enter the spirit of the Bhagavatam and apply it to our situation, derive motivation and inspiration from it, so that we will win in this fight between nature and culture. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, please chant again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo Hare Krishna.
I'm tempted to sing now for a few hours, but I want to keep within the framing of this whole event. I thank you very, very, very much for your kind attention, for being with us. This is a living name seminar where living name no where are we living ba- the what is it living the Bhagavatam. It's getting a little bit so many different seminars everywhere, but I wanted to say I'm very grateful for your very kind reception of the subject matter. Let me just give you a summary so that you know how it is structured and where we are. We started out in the morning by a general glorification of the Bhagavatam, how it is identical with Krishna and how the Bhagavatam makes Krishna appear in our heart, provided we are reading it in the proper way which the Bhagavatam requests its reader. So, you remember there were three items: with faith, thank you very much, regular reading, and finally, yeah, with rapt attention, this effort for rapt attention. Then, this evening, we try to focus on one of the many narratives, we wanted to bring out a point which might inspire us to also take up the teachings of the essence of the Bhagavatam, which is the holy name. We looked at this, therefore, with what is called in the Katha tradition, with a certain frame. You know, when we put a frame on around something, we recognize it new. Look at this delightful American lamp. You might have overlooked it so far. If I would take one of the frames of an original painting of Pushka and put it around here, you would pay close attention and you would see, my God, the bluish texture, the brownish thing, and the designer made, what is it, umbrella, or not umbrella, shade. And with the framing, you recognize it. So our framing today was the simple sentence: the human being is suspended between his nature and his culture. He hangs he hangs in there somewhere. And yes, it is a struggle, and the struggle can be won by Kevala Bhakti, by the pure bhakti that puts us immediately out of the dilemma. And Ajamil's story, to chant the name first somehow or other and then in a pure way, was giving us an indication. Tomorrow we will take a look on the qualification for reading Bhagavatam. What qualification we have to bring to the Bhagavatam to make it alive. And we will also learn a method which is explained both in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Upanishadic tradition, which will help us to bring the Bhagavatam in our life to full effect. We will also be requested to work on a text of the Bhagavatam and then share our nectar extraction, what we have found out, with a partner and possibly the whole group in the internet world. There are these little recording devices, and therefore we will actually be asked to go into a dangerous territory, that is, we will ask to learn something and apply it immediately. I'm saying dangerous to make you curious. It's of course the most beautiful thing. So once again, thank you so much. Please allow me, please forgive me. I'm trying to learn your language, and because I'm used in the German language to express many things, and I'm struggling to catch words. I sometimes may catch the wrong word, the wrong phrase, and something, and it might sound really, really aggressive, maybe, or murky, or I don't know, shady, or whatever. And please, I have a good intention, but it's not my mother tongue. And when I try to bring this subtleties of a point, I may just hit just next to it, and you may feel it, that it comes on your fingers or so. And it's a little, please forgive me. I'm trying, but it will become better. Maybe in 10 years I will speak properly. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful rest. Please be strong in mind and heart and soul for tomorrow. And please attend if you have started this seminar, because you will only feel the whole benefit when you see all the courses, all the points. All the best, and Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.